Good morning. Well, I was going to have you all move forward because it seems sort of ridiculous to have everybody towards the back of the church, but I've been in the back of the church and I can feel the breeze back there, so I understand why you're back there. It is good to be back and see everyone here this morning. Happy Father's Day to our fathers that are here. Happy Father's Day. Also, too, I guess a thank you to Ashley. She's not here, but I heard she did a really great job pinch hitting last week, so in some confusion. So we're thankful to that. And I was reading over the cards with that she had you all do with the things that you were thankful for. And it's amazing all the lovely things that are on there, but it seems as though family is the one that rises to the top. So on this day of celebrating our fathers, that seems a fitting thing to remember. Our announcements for this day. This Tuesday there is an Upper Ohio Valley Presbytery meeting. At dinner is at 5:15. The meeting actually starts at 6:15, and that'll be in Moundsville. And Wednesday, I believe you're leaving at 11:30 for the Presbyterian women. Yes, no, is that not? Oh, okay. Presbyterian women will be leaving at 11:30 to head over to New Martinsville to have lunch over at Bob Evans, and Sarah will be able to join them. Oh, okay, and two ladies from the Moundsville Church will also be joining them, so that'll be a nice luncheon for them. This Thursday, from 1 to 4, the Monroe County Suicide Prevention Coalition will be offering their gatekeepers training. There is a woman coming from, I believe it's Finley. She has her PhD in counseling and then she does this training around the state. This is the second time it's being offered. It is open to the public. Anyone can come. So if you're free, again, from 1 to 4 this Thursday, it will be at St. Paul's. Neglected to put that on there, but it will be at St. Paul's United Church of Christ. And again, it's just really good training just to recognize warning signs, how to know what questions to ask, and how to respond to be able to be helpful to someone. And then also this coming Thursday at 7 p.m., we will be having a session meeting here at Woodsfield. And are there any other announcements?
Yes, Bonnie McCallum was there and asked me to announce in church that next Saturday at 2 o'clock at the gazebo, there will be a memorial service for her sister, her twin sister.
Okay, so next, at 2 o'clock next Saturday, that's the 26th, I think. At the gazebo, there will be a memorial service for Connie McGee, Bonnie McKelvey's twin sister that passed away, unfortunately, as a result of the burns that she suffered in the fire in her home. Are there any others? Well, we remember to welcome those who will be worshiping with us through our CD ministry. And a reminder of the history of Father's Day. The idea for creating a day for children to honor their fathers began in Spokane, Washington. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd thought of the idea for Father's Day while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Having been raised by her father, William Jackson Smart, after her mother died, Sonora wanted her father to know how special he was to her. It was her father that made all the parental sacrifices and was, in the eyes of his daughter, a courageous, selfless, and loving man. Sonora's father was born in June, so she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Spokane, Washington, on the 19th of June, 1910. In 1926, a National Father's Day Committee was formed in New York City. Father's Day was recognized by a joint resolution of Congress in 1956. In 1972, President Richard Nixon established a permanent national observance of Father's Day to be held on the third Sunday of June. So Father's Day was born in memory and gratitude by a daughter who thought that her father and all good fathers should be honored with a special day, just like we honor our mothers on Mother's Day. So again, happy Father's Day to our fathers. Hear these words of Scripture this day as we prepare to worship our triune God. Thus says the High and Exalted One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in a high place and holy place, but I also live with those who are broken and humble in spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to restore the courage of the broken. Let us worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please rise in body, heart, spirit, and soul. Let us join in our call to worship this Sunday. We have been baptized into freedom, empowered to live as free people. Great I am, your very nature is freedom, calling us to life that is full rather than familiar. In this holy hour, may your Spirit release us from all that impedes your call. Free and freeing God, we walk toward our future with you. Let us pray. God, our refuge and our hope, come among us today to give us energy and purpose. Move us beyond the discipline of the law to the discipline of faith. Free us from the shackles of fear and a sense of failure that keeps us from stepping bravely into your future. Grant us the sense that we are not alone, but are part of a great company of your faithful people of every nation and tongue. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 278, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Call to confession this Sunday. Remember that Jesus can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Let us confess our turning from God's love and command to one another to love one another as ourselves. Let us pray together, saying, O God, many are the sins that torment us, holding us captive and restricting the life you intend. Bitterness and jealousy, resentment and envy, selfishness and pride, self-loathing and contempt, and more than we cannot even name. What have you to do with us and our sinful ways? Have you really come to release us? Is forgiveness really possible? Is the news really that good? We hope it is so. Lord, make it so. Wash us with your mercy. Seal us in your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are invited into a time of silent reflection and prayer. Amen. The time of waiting is over. A new creation now begins. Our faithful God has heard our prayer. Salvation is at hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Peace be to God. God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading this morning comes from 1 Kings. And actually, I'm going to read straight through from chapter 19, verses 1 through 15a. 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 15a. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus.'" Our responsive reading this morning is long. It's Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. on page 621. I will read the odd verses, if you would read the even. But when we get to Psalm 43, let's read Psalm 43 together. Page 621, Psalm 42 and 43. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. Day and night I cry, and tears are my only food. All the time my enemies ask me, where is your God?
My heart breaks when I remember the past, when I went to the crowns to the house of God, and led them as they walked along, a happy crowd, singing and shouting praises to God.
Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Savior and my God.
Here in exile, my heart is breaking, and so I turn my thoughts to him. He has sent waves of sorrow over my soul. Chaos roars at me like a flood, like waterfalls thundering down to the Jordan, from Mount Hermon and Mount Pisgah.
Go ahead, continue on 8.
Show his constant love during the day, so that I may have a song at night, a prayer to God of my life.
To God, my defender, I say, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? I am crushed by their insults as they keep on asking me, where is your God? Together. O God, declare me innocent and defend my cause against the ungodly. Deliver me from lying and evil men. You are my protector. Why have you abandoned me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? Send your light and your truth. May they lead me back and bring me back to Zion, your sacred hill, and to your temple where you live. Then I will go to your altar, O God. You are the source of my happiness. I will play my harp and sing praise to you. O God, my God, why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Our next reading is found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Familiar words from Paul. Galatians 3, 23 through 29. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. And our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Jesus heals a Gerasene possessed by demons. Luke 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, There met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all of the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you this day as we reflect upon the Word made flesh, as we reflect upon your love, your grace, and your healing mercy. Bless us with the healing from this word this day as we go forth, your disciples. We pray all these things in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, this is one of our familiar stories, the story of the healing of the Gerasene who had many demons. And it is one of those stories that I kind of think of as, well, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news first? Because in some ways, this is a very, very strange story. And there are some places where you just can't quite answer why something has happened the way it has. First of all, we have this man who knows about Jesus. It always seems that the demons know and recognize exactly who he is, even though others do not recognize him as the Son of the God Most High. But the demons always know who it is they are up against. And as Jesus steps out of the boat after calming the stormy seas, we are intentionally told that he has come to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. Jesus is stepping into other territory now. He has stepped away from his own people into Gentile territory. But even more than that, Jesus is about to step into a situation that is truly a matter of life or death for this man. We're told a good deal about his current situation, but we're not told much at all, actually nothing at all, about who he was, just who he is now. He is someone who has been cast out horribly. He has no clothes. He doesn't live in a house. He lives among the dead in the tombs. This is a man who must be in so much pain and agony, not only physically, but emotionally in the depth of his being, to be cast out. And we're told that as Jesus has, in the process of casting out these demons, that we're told that this man has even been kept under guard. He has been bound with chains and shackles, yet the demons in his life are so strong that he is able to break these bonds, these shackles. When Jesus asks him his name after casting out the demons, the man doesn't even know who he is anymore. He has no name but the name Legion. That Legion is representative in this one person, the sins, the agony of humanity. He is carrying the weight of so much. For those of you that saw the movie The Lord of the Rings, the character, is it Smedley? Schmedley. Do you remember?
Golem.
What, huh? Golem? The, yes, that's Golem. Okay, who is Smedley?
That's the same name.
Oh, same name. That's right. He's become?
It was him first and then Golem as he progressed.
And he battles these two characters, these voices, but he went from being a hobbit to this creature that doesn't even have a human form really anymore. I mean, he has arms and legs and a face, but he no longer resembles at all what he was. I think about people sometimes in our communities that because of the struggles that they have gone through, they begin to lose their identity, not only for themselves as an individual, but within the community. Think of that person that when somebody says, "Who's that over there?" and somebody says, "Well, that's the town drunk." They don't say the person's name, it's just the town drunk. Or you may see someone on the street and you've heard that, well, maybe they're the ones selling drugs or doing drugs. Or maybe they abuse their spouse, male or female. And they become that identity of something other than a human being. They've lost their name. Sometimes when you go into extended care facilities and you walk up to someone and you say, "What is your name?" And they may look at you and say, "Oh, I'm the crazy one." Sometimes they may say, "Oh, I'm just the one who smiles." That's a good thing. But they've begun to lose who they are by name. And that is what has happened to this man. But there is no sin that is too great for the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ to overcome. No sin. But the reality is, in this good news, bad news, that when Jesus comes in, he disrupts the status quo. Things will change. And we human beings can be odd about change sometimes. Because if you listen closely to the story, the people in his community that knew who he was, well, in this odd, bizarre way, they were comfortable with that. They knew how to deal with this crazy, sick, schizophrenic, nutty person. They just would bind him up. They would chain him up. And even though he would get out, they'd bind him up again and chain him up again and put guards on him and cast him off into the tombs. They just knew what to do with him then. But when they came and they saw him at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, human again. We are told that they are afraid. They are afraid of what this man, Jesus, has done. This man, Jesus, has upset their status quo. He has changed their living. He has changed their economic and social status as well, because, and this is part of the story where we have to just leave it in limbo. When Jesus casts the demons into the swine, it seems like an odd thing to do, because then the swine run into the water. But for Jesus, who is a Jew, casting the demons into the pigs, an unclean animal, would have been not an unusual thing to do. And then the demons run into the water because demons, according to their Egyptian demonology at that time, could not survive, demons couldn't survive in water. And so they are now gone. But the swine herds, the people who these animals belong to, have just lost their livelihood. What are they going to do? This is a foreshadowing in some ways of where Jesus' disciples and we will be called. We will be called to go into places where we may not always be welcomed with the message of good news and healing that the Gerasene man, Legion, has received. The shepherds, the swine herdsmen, have lost their livelihood. This man who was an outcast is now among them normal. Do you remember when Jesus told his disciples to go out, and when those people welcome you, eat with them and tell them the good news, but if they will not listen, stamp the dust, shake the dust off your clothing, and move on. But as Jesus leaves, and this man so desperately wants to move on with Jesus, Jesus tells him no, that he must stay, that he must tell the good news of his healing, of God's grace, and of God's love, and he must share his story. And it's going to be a hard story to sell. Remember the woman at the well, married and divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced 5 times? And yet Jesus sends her back to share the good news of the living water. It is tough sometimes to tell our stories. As I read over your cards, so many of you also talked about the church, your faith. Praise God that we are able to meet here today. And it's easy to share our faith with people who want to hear our stories, and they want to listen how God makes a difference in our lives, and how God not only rejoices with us and celebrates with us when our youth graduate and move on in life and new things happen and new babies are born and birthdays are celebrated, but when we break our feet and we break our hands and we stumble and fall and break a hip, or an accident happens, or a house burns down, or an automobile accident happens, when cancer hits us, when heart disease comes, when a death comes, and then another death in the family, and then yet another death in our family comes. That is where our faith really sustains us. And so with this man, Legion, we are called to go and share our stories of the healing grace that God brings. And it's going to be difficult sometimes, just as it's going to be difficult for Legion. And we're still never told his name. And I think that's probably intentional, because he still represents all those people out there that have become nameless. And he is the one who will bring good news to them. And when Jesus tells his disciples and tells us to go to Jerusalem and spread the good news, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the ends of the world, that's exactly what he's telling us. Jerusalem is home, where you live now. You share your faith with the people that you see often or on a daily basis. And then as you move out to Judea, it's where you get a little more uncomfortable sharing your faith, maybe where extended family lives now. You know some people, but some people are strangers, but you're networking through your family and friends. Then you move out to Samaria, a little farther from home and more distant. You don't know as many people. You're traveling on vacation. But then Jesus says, to the ends of the world, to people who aren't like us at all, don't speak our language, have customs and rituals different from us, but yet the good news is there. So back to home, we begin to share our stories of faith, knowing that our healing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, is just as much good news for us and scary, uncertain news as it was for Legion. But we share our stories in faith and in God's love and in God's healing mercy. Amen. Our next hymn is Faith of Our Fathers, verses 3 and 4, number 189, as we prepare to lead into our litany for Father's Day. In our responsive litany for Father's Day. For our fathers who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love in return.
We pray to the Lord, grant them peace.
For fathers who have lost a child through separation or death, that they may find hope through family and friends who love, support, and console them, and through their faith, however weak or strong. For men, though without children of their own, have nurtured and cared for them like a father, or now care for a beloved parent as a father.
We pray to the Lord, grant them patience.
For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children in love, and have not sustained their families in wholeness.
We praise the Lord, grant them strength.
For all our forefathers who have gone before us in love, courage, and honor, and who have blazed trails into the unknown that we might live in a land of freedom for all who enter.
We praise the Lord with thanksgiving for their courage.
God of our fathers, in your wisdom and love, you made all things and created all humankind in your image. Bless the men of all nations that they may be strengthened as men of faith. Let their goodness created by you shine forth from them in love and honor in all they do. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, and all who love them, may honor them, nurture them, respect them, and support them as they grow in all good gifts given by you. Grant these your blessings through Christ our Lord, your Son. Amen. And now as we prepare for our continued time of prayer, let us sing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, number 349. Invited to share your prayers now of joy, thanksgiving, concern. Let us share. Joyce.
Our neighbors had a fire this week. I believe it was on a Friday night.
It was.
And it was tulips lived down the corner across from William Christmas Head. And I'm not sure the damage it looks like was pretty bad in the upstairs for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Their last name again?
I believe the last name right now is Tulip.
Is it
Tulip? The Kearns children.
Okay. The Kearns children, the Tulip. And that, yeah, it looks pretty. And even just smoke and water damage, so, yeah.
Former neighbor of mine, who was 100 at the care center, passed away this week. And I didn't know the burial. And he had been buried on Friday. So this, there's not much family left of that. Family.
Yeah. What was Clarence's last name?
Finesse.
Clarence Finesse. He was 100 and he passed away. Let's hold him in our prayers. He didn't have much family left, and so we'll hold him in our prayers. And also to Julie and Steve and Lizzie Casto, Julie's family, her mom, Ann, she passed away on Monday. So, yeah, so. I believe it probably is. Frank and I were in, with Frank's mom, we were up in St. Clairsville yesterday, and it so happened that I was going into a store when Julie was coming out, and I didn't see them, but Frank did. And because I knew that his mother had passed sometime between Sunday and Monday. Julie had said it was Monday. her home for her was Columbus, and that's where most of Julie's family is. So I'm imagining that they took her back home there. They had brought her here because as they looked for full care facilities for her up there, they just couldn't find anything as good as the Woodsfield Nursing and Rehab Center, and this is where they wanted her to be. So they brought her here, and which was just nice. It gave the family time, and everyone was able to be in and be with her. They said it was just a blessed time from Sunday through that all last weekend to be with her and in her presence in her passing. So, but I would imagine that everything is over, that it probably occurred in Columbus. So the phone, it keeps ringing in the elevator, so or downstairs. So anyway, somebody's trying to call us. God. I'm sorry, say that again. Okay. Linda Long's mother passed away, and so Shirley went to the funeral home. And when was that? Wednesday night. And the funeral Thursday. At Calvary Church. Good. Good. Are there any other joys, prayer, concerns? Oh, yes. I meant to say that in our opening announcements, that before all the artwork from the Monroe Arts Council gets taken out of here. I know our Marlene Moose has things down there, but they really are just doing some lovely things down there. There's some sculpture as well. If you want to purchase some artwork for your home, you can do that. I'm not sure who you'd get in touch with. I guess Marlene at this moment. But anyway, it hasn't been taken down yet, so do go enjoy that. So, any others? Thanks, Mark. I meant to say that at the beginning and forgot. Any? Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. God of grace, God of infinite love, healing, wholeness, and reconciliation. You step into our lives. You burst forth into our lives. Sometimes we welcome you, and other times we are frightened by you. Your gift of love can be so overwhelming. Your healing mercies can be so abundant that we are just filled to overflowing and uncertain where to go, what to do, how to handle what you present in our lives before us. The gifts and the bounty that you want us to share sometimes seem so overwhelming that we just don't know where to turn. Who should we share with? Who will listen? But in that moment when we take a deep breath, we are reminded that because it is your love, your abundance, your healing freely given to us, from the moment of our birth, our baptism into Christ, that you will guide us. You will provide for us. You will strengthen us. Whatever we need, you provide. Not based on our desires and asking, but upon your knowledge, your wisdom, and your love for us. And for that, O Lord, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we lift up all glory to you that you, O God, are our God. And we give you thanks, O Lord, that through Paul's words that we are reminded that there are no separations that are big enough to keep us, one another, apart from each other and from you. For in Christ we are one. In Christ the world is one. For you loved the world that you gave him, that we might know how to live, how to love, and how to share. So on this Father's Day, O Lord, we ask that we remember not only our own fathers, but all those who step forth to love. And we ask, O Lord, that in these times of economic and social uncertainty that have existed for century upon century upon century, that you continue to guide us and that we might listen. The leaders of our countries, the CEOs of companies, individuals that have accumulated great wealth, may their hearts be opened, that they not guard their money and their power, but they guard and protect all of your creation, human life, plant life, water, animal, creature, all that you have created in this world. That war might end, peace might be known, and the healing of your planet will come. So on this day, O Lord, receive our thanks. Receive our thoughts of thankfulness that were shared last week, that we hold in our hearts each and every day as our gift to you, as we prepare now to give our gifts that sustain our ministries here in this church that are called and guided and nurtured by you. And hear us as we pray, O Lord, not only for those that we have lifted up by name in our time of sharing, but for those that we have called by name. Brenda Rice, Bill Rice, Gina Most, Sarah Hall, Glenna Joy Graham, Virginia Lee Morris, Jim Newhart, Reverend Robert Phillips, Sandra Turner, Tom Billings, Mary Jo Hammond, Jack Hammond, Sarah and Sean Galilean, Aiden Russell, Mike Caravelle, Carly Sue Williams, Ashley Shoemaker, John Patster, Mary Morris, Ronald Bob Howell, Linda Hanna, Jennifer Edgel, Monica Long, Rick Williams, Sally Jackson, Lucy Roberts, Gabriel Kayetta, Chuck Henning, Donna Beery, Gloria Jean West Godwin, Mitch Clift, Danny Olam, Bob LaCrone, Isla Forney, Cecile Waters, Bill Hoag, Sherry and Dalton Patterson, Joe Fetty, Mike Hines, Charlotte Schuerman, Linda Andrews, and all who ask us to pray, O Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. Let us now pray as Jesus has taught us, his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus came and went about blessing and healing. We can take our divinely inspired gifts, our offerings of money, our resources of time, all we are, to spread goodness, hope, and Christ's love in the world. Let us gather our gifts. Let us pray together, saying, God of all times and places, may our offerings reflect confidence, not cowardice, altruism, not egoism, inclusiveness, not exclusiveness. In your name, we devote them to bringing all humanity into harmony with your purposes. May the ministries we undertake build up the body of Christ among us, and far beyond us. Amen. You are instruments of God's peace. Together in harmony, your words, your actions, your very lives are a song that should draw all of humanity to seek the grace we already share. Let us go forth with song of grace. And our closing hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, number 152. May the peace of God's forgiveness and the assurance of God's hope sustain you in God's love. In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Go in peace.